Privilege and an honor it is to be with you this morning. I thank the Lord for this church. Thank God for your new pastor here. It's the first time we've been able to meet. I thank God for this meeting. I'm a little bit nervous. Y'all pray for me. Anything as big as God's work, it upsets me. But I met him 30 years ago. I surrendered my life to him, and he's been faithful ever since. And I guess most of you may know me. I don't know if you do. I'm just a country boy that grew up in Avery County here in Linville, North Carolina. And I graduated from Avery High School in 86. And I'm just a country boy that was all messed up. And God saved one day and gave me a good wife and called me to the mission field. And within 4 years of all the things that I just told you, we were on the field, and we've been there for 30 years coming this September. We've been there 30 years. So we thank God for that. We thank him for his ability to do the things that he does, but it does take some faith. You have to believe God. You have to trust him, and that's a hard thing to do. Thank God we grew up where we did. Amen. Thank God we're where we're at. And we have a good heritage. I have one. My grandfather, Roscoe Green, he preached all over the mountains here and down in the north and in that area. He preached on the radio for about 45 years. Now, that's big shoes. Everywhere I go, people know him. And I say, well, that's somebody that I can't live up to yet. I'm trying, but I can't live up to him yet. But I thank God for the heritage that we have. I thank God for the way that the place he put me to grow up. And I didn't want it. It took me a while to get a hold of it. But I thank God once I did, I took a hold of the Lord. He got me first. But our job now is to take a hold of him. Amen. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And by this the elders obtained a good report. And I don't know about you this morning, but I want a good report. I met a Savior one day that helped me and has done everything for me up until this point. I've tried to mess it up, and he wouldn't let me. And he'd go and fix it. And then he'd turn around and give me credit for it. He's a pretty good friend this morning. Amen. He's a pretty good Savior. I tried to introduce everybody I met within reason since I met him and tell them about him. Some believed, but some haven't. I'm still praying for them. I've got friends that I grew up with in Avery County here that know me in the past, and they see me now and they think, what in the world has happened to you? I try to tell them about this man, but it doesn't work sometimes. It doesn't work because it's not mixed with faith. I thank God as a young man, I was taken to church even when I didn't want to go. I was made to go to church. I was made to sit there. I was made to listen. And I thank God I was. Amen. Now, I was smart. I knew how to get away from everybody. I knew how to hide. But you can't hide from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This book's powerful. The words of this book here are sharp. And they'll cut to the bone. They'll cut to the very core of what you have, what's going on in your life. And as a 10-year-old little boy, I was sitting back as far as I could sit in a little church called Calvary Baptist Church. Dennis Church, I don't know if you know who he was. He's in heaven now. But he got up behind the pulpit and he began to preach this old book. And he began to preach on a subject I'd heard a lot about. He began to preach on hell. Well, I was just like any other kid. I'd just go and try to shut it off and think about anything else I could before, you know, until the service was over, and then go do what I wanted to do. But that morning, there was something different. There was a presence came around me and began to speak to me. and began to disturb me. And it was like it was saying, this is the truth. You better listen. You better pay attention. And I was rolling around in the back. I sit up in the back row and I started listening. And thank God he didn't just preach on hell, but he preached on a man that went into this place for me and conquered it and rose victorious the third day. And he told me, he said, if you don't want to go to this place, he's made a way for you. Come down here and talk to him. I'd seen that a lot. But I'm preaching on faith. By faith, I stepped out as a 10-year-old little boy. And I walked down an old country church aisle just like this one. And I knelt down on this side of the church. And I talked to somebody I couldn't see. That's kind of crazy, ain't it? Not to us, because we grew up here. We grew up in this blessed place. We grew up in these blessed churches. We had these blessed preachers. We had this blessed book. We had what we needed. And as a 10-year-old little boy, by faith, I'm talking about, by faith at that man's word, that what he said was true, I stepped out and walked down and talked to somebody I'd never seen. I believe he took it, Pastor. I believe he took it. I tried my best to break away and make my own way through this world. And when I'd made a mess like the prodigal, I was 21 years old. And to make a long story short, my cousins up in the mountains of North Carolina came by my door and knocked one day and said, Nathan, we're going down to a church down in Marion, North Carolina, by the name of New Manor Baptist Church. Said, we'd like for you to go with us. Boy, I'm glad they came by. I sure am thankful for that day. I thought I was going to hear just an Easter cantata, just a singing. And I could fake it just like anybody else because I was out of town. Everybody in my town knew what I'd done. I disgraced my family's name, my name. Didn't even want to give me a job. But I could go down there. Thank God for the refuge. I went down there, heard this beautiful choir sing. I mean, people singing like they believed it, like this morning. Sing about a double portion. I said, Lord, I hope you give us a double portion because all there gets a double portion of me if you don't. I'll be here the next service too. But I thank God that they knew what they were singing about. And I knew some of them. They had driven all the way from Avery County to go down there just to be in the church. That was a testimony in itself. You being here this morning's a testimony. But after the singing was over, I thought it was finished, and the pastor got up behind the pulpit and he opened this blessed book and he said, you thought I was going to let you go, didn't you? Ah, you know me better than that, he said. Boy, he began to preach. I couldn't tell you everything he preached, but I could tell you it touched my heart. I could tell you it's what I needed, and I knew it. And I knew it was coming, the invitation. He gave an invitation. I wasn't going. It's over 1,000 people in that church. I wasn't ready. But I went home. That whole week, I was disturbed. I knew there's something good. I knew there's something out there. And it comes Sunday morning. Saturday night, the devil tried to kill me. Just like he's tried to do before I got to this service. Anything that God tries to do, the devil's there to try to hinder it. And we have to press on through. That's the walk. By faith. I went Sunday night. I grabbed my girlfriend and my best friend. I wasn't going by myself. And I went down to that church. I sat back far again. Same choir got up and sang like your beautiful choir this morning. Blessed songs, I mean just good songs. I could tell and feel the difference. And then my pastor got up and he began to preach again. I could tell you every word he said this time. He preached on a rock, a river, and a refuge. He said, there's a rock that you can build your life on.
And you won't have to worry about it anymore. Boy, you talk about something I needed to hear. Yeah. I thought my life was over. I was finished. Thought I was going to end it one or two times. Thank God. Thank God for this book. Amen. Thank God for His church and His men. Amen. He said there's a river. He said it's flowing right through the middle of this church. He said, all you got to do is jump in it. And it'll wash you clean. My heart is black as midnight. I thought, Lord, can this be real? Can I be forgiven? Can I be transformed? Given something new? Saw a sign coming in. Said, you must be born again. Boy, ain't that good.
Amen.
Translated, if you will. Translated. Already there. He said you can be washed clean. And then the best part about it all, said there's a refuge. Said there's a place where you can come.
That's good.
Yeah.
I failed it this morning, brother. I needed a refuge this morning. You don't know. But the Lord knows. And He put this together this morning. I think every time I come to church, Lord, You did it just for me. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
I hope everybody feels that way. But He gave me a refuge. He said, this is a place where you can come and get out of the world for a while and just enjoy where you're going. And boy, that's what we do, ain't it? Sing those precious hymns, those songs, and listen to this word preached, get encouraged. Brother, I took it for granted. I took it at face value this time. I said, all right. I said, when He gives the invitation, I'm a-going. And He did. I looked at my best friend. I looked at my girlfriend. It wasn't my precious wife sitting here this morning. They weren't going. And by faith, at that man's word, I stepped out again. And I walked down to this altar again. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said something like this. I know I'm not worthy or deserve Your help. But this man said You'd help me.
Amen.
And if You'd help me, I would appreciate it. And brother, I don't know what happened to me. Son, I came up different and I went down.
Amen.
And I've had battle after battle after battle after battle. But He's never left me.
Amen.
I've never been to rehab. Not against anybody that's gone. I was as addicted as anybody that's ever been addicted to anything. But God took it out.
Amen.
He took it out of my life. And He set me on the right course. And I stayed in the church. That was the key. I stayed in that youth ministry that they had. I stayed there every service, whether anybody came or not. Just like I got up and walked down, whether anybody came or not. I went to church whether anybody went or not. My family in the mountains here, I've got the best parents in the world. Got the best heritage in the world. But they weren't going to church at that time. Little by little, God put everything together. And brother, I got saved in 1989, or got rededicated. I got my call to preach in 1990. God gave me my wife in 1991. And in 1992, I was in Bulgaria, starting on the mission field, under a senior missionary that has been like my spiritual father for 27 years till he's gone on to heaven now. But I had some good men. I had some good ones that believed this book, the King James, the book. They believed it. They trusted it. They hold to it. They know it's the Word. They'll stick it in your face and tell you so. Brother, we need that.
I mean, things are changing too quickly today.
Right.
We need to pay attention.
Right.
We need to hold on to some things.
Amen.
Thank God for your church. Thank God for the traditional choir. Thank God for the things that's going on in this place. I listen to you. My service is already done in Romania by this time. I watch you online. I watched you during the COVID epidemic. I was quarantined in my house. My son never left the house for a whole month. We weren't allowed to leave. But we had these videos, these casts coming out to us. And I appreciate that. That's what we need. We need to hold to what we've got. But these men taught me to believe God. They taught me to trust God. I told the pastor when he called me, I said, "Pastor, I don't do things like most missionaries do." I said, "I've never one time called one pastor and ever asked him one time to come to the church." Pastor Potter, Fred Potter down at Bristol, Tennessee, had Tri-State Baptist Children's Home for over 50 years now. It's still going. He's in heaven. But he was my director of the mission board. And brother, he taught us just to trust God, believe God. He didn't have anything. He didn't have even an education. Third grade, they put him in fifth because he's too big for the seats. But thank God, the man had faith. You talk about Independence Day now. He fought for it. He surrendered to preach on the battlefield with his leg shot out from under in Germany. Now, he had the testimony. He grew up hard on the backside of Pogi, Beach Mountain over there, the backside of Beach Mountain. He just grew up hard. He didn't have a father and a mother that really took care of him. His grandparents took care of him. So he just learned to believe God after about 15 years of age. He was up on the hillside. He was grubbing. If anybody knows what that is, some of the old timers know what grubbing is. He was up there grubbing. And all of a sudden they rang that blessed church bell. Thank God I love to hear that sound. And boy, it began to ring and the conviction started coming to him. He knew he wasn't right and he knew he'd get right and he knew he needed to go to church. So he went home. Granny said, "Let me wash your clothes, you can go tonight." He said, "Granny, where I'm dirty, you can't clean." He went to church, got saved that night. He's fed half the world. There's a couple people come up to him one time, one of his good friends, and told him, said, "Well, Fred said you can't feed the world." He said, "I don't know. I hadn't tried." That's just the faith he had. And he told us missionaries, he said, "There's not enough time to go on deputation." I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought he was talking about the Lord coming back. But he had a word from the Lord. And he said, "You need to go to the prayer grounds and you need to go to the mailbox." Brother, that's what we've done for 30 years. And he's made a believer out of me.
Amen.
He's made a believer out of me.
Amen.
I wish so bad I could help other people to understand. And just to see his goodness and understand his power. And just to know how good he is to him. I've tried to surrender my life to him. I've tried to give everything I have to him. My son's on the mission field now helping me serve the Lord. He's been over there. Many of you know him. He was here when he was little. And now he's grown up. Now he's serving the Lord. He's got a wife. I've got three grandchildren over there. He's taking care of the work while I'm here trying to take care of my dad. I didn't want to go to churches. I didn't know I needed to. I don't do that. But evidently it's necessary, brother. Because, brother, I went over to Friendship Baptist. Brother Bill McGuire over there, he's been one of my best buddies in my whole ministry. He's just been like a father to me. And it's exploded since then. We started out in Bulgaria, moved to Romania in 1995, working with the Turkish-speaking people. And we have now established in Romania 10 meetings that we take care of every single week. I have 7 national pastors, including my son, that helped me do this. But we have three different locations now over the period of years we've been there. We have one on the Black Sea of Constanza. We have one a little bit inland called Castello, where my senior pastor is there. And me and my wife have moved an hour and a half inland towards the capital of Romania, Bucharest. It's called a town called Călăraș. And we all have our groups now. We all have our people now. And we all come from three places to every meeting. Now, I've had to combine my meetings because of the price of gas. When gas went to $4 here, it went to $8 there. When it went to $5 here, it's gone to $9 there. So I pay $9 a gallon for gas. So I've had to combine my meetings, and we do them on Friday, Saturday, and Monday. And Sunday, I'm at our children's home, where we have had it been a part of a children's home for 20 years this year. And we've raised a generation of children there that call us mom and dad. And many of them are out of school and graduated, but they're still hanging around. That's all right. We love them. They're fine in their way. They're not perfect, but you've helped us raise them. And we have an English church there. Thank God for the English church, brother. Because I work in Romanian and I work in Turkish. When we're in Bulgaria, we have to work in Bulgarian. I work also with the Gypsy-speaking people. My son married a Gypsy Turk. My grandchildren speak four languages. It's hard for me to keep up with. But I mean, it helps in every area where we're at. And we have just, my son preaches on Sunday morning. I preach Wednesday night. Dave will preach Sunday morning. I'll preach Wednesday night, and we rotate. I drive in every week to the English-speaking meeting there, where we have an English-speaking meeting. And now, since all of the trouble has transpired in the Ukraine, many of the Ukrainian refugees have filtered down into Romania. And 2 weeks ago, we had 25 Ukrainians come to our English-speaking meeting. So that's another branch of the ministry. We have the children's home. We have the Ukrainian ministry, the English church. We have the 10 Turkish churches. And we also have the feeding centers. And the feeding centers have been the biggest blessing, I guess, of our ministry. Because over 24 years ago now, we came to Romania. And we found some devastating things. I mean, just kids hungry, poor. The thing that changed us was in one of the villages there was a lady who came, and we were giving out bread from house to house because of the weather conditions and the way they couldn't get out. And all of a sudden, we come upon this house, and it didn't have any electricity. I guess probably 75% of the people in the village don't have any indoor plumbing. And they just live in horses and wagons, and they have all of these different things that they... there's my first bill. Will I get another one? But anyway, we had a young boy that we found and stumbled upon, who his mother was having to let starve to death, because she had two children from another marriage and she didn't have enough food to feed them. So that woke us up. And we have feeding centers and things now that we thank the Lord for. We've been able to raise a whole generation of these children now. And now they're helping me in the ministry. And I thank God for each and every one of them. They call me Daddy. I'm not worthy of that, but they call me Daddy. And just like they call me Daddy at the children's home, I guess it just carried over. But I thank God for the privilege that he's given us to do these things. We have the Turkish Bible, and we have the Turkish hymn book. And this has been our biggest tool to get in and to minister to these people. These hymns came from the people themselves. And we've been able to use these tools to get in, because it's in their language. You got to go in their language. That was difficult for me. Being raised here in Avery County, you can hear the slang of my, I'm sure the southern slang, but Turkish came to me a little bit easier than some of the other languages because it's kind of backwards. Instead of saying I go to the house, you say house I am going. So I was already saying that. So. But we've been plugging away at it for years now. If I had time, I'd sing you a hymn. I'd try my best to tell you about the language and these things, but I'll stay with you after the service, and I'll show you some of those pictures. I don't show pictures in the house of God. That's something that the director never wanted us to do. He said, we don't need to show pictures showing the house of God. But I put together a board back there quickly because I didn't know I was going to be going around to churches, and I put it together for you. Don't look at the way it's put up there, but just look at the pictures. I found out very quickly it's hard to put 30 years on two boards. So is there any questions, anything? Gas is $9 a gallon. The lay is 4.6 lay to $1. And everything that we do, we have to pay 22% sales tax on. And that's probably the reason the Lord's got me here this morning. I still have to do another building out in the village that's really poor, and it's very dangerous. I've had the windows knocked down my van. I've had them try to set it on fire. I had a man chase me with an axe. One man kicked me in the rear end three times before I could get out of the courtyard. And they get vicious sometimes, the Muslims I'm talking about. But we've waited 20 years, and I put a building up this past summer and fall, and it just about killed me. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my whole ministry. But we got one more to do, and we're going to get her done. We're going to get it finished. Thank God God's already given me a bell, brother, to put on it. Thank God. I'll tell you a little bit later about that. God bless you.